last week, Sean was teaching the practice in our Jesus Dojo of simplicity. Does anybody in here this week have a story to tell of how they practiced their practice? I know the first one's always difficult, but once somebody goes, then everybody starts to follow in. Who wants to be that first one to share how they practiced simplicity this last week? I will go first. So, to keep things really simple, I spent my first 2 hours of getting home every day with no TV, and I've been trying to wean myself off of TikTok. So to decompress my days, I'll either sit with coloring books and some markers in front of me, and I just keep my life as simple as possible just to open up my time to have time with God if he wants to say something to me or if I want to have a conversation with him. But I keep my life simple as possible to even have those moments present themselves to me. Go ahead, Michael. That's awesome. Okay, so welcome to week 9 of our sermon series titled The Jesus Dojo. In this series, we've been going over practices to help us strengthen and deepen our connections to, of course, Jesus. Some have found it easier than others. Some of these practices that we've gone over, just to name a couple of them, include rest, meditation, and evangelism. All good practices, but by no stretch of the imagination easy. I kicked off this sermon series teaching of ways to practice hearing the voice of God, and then I got back up here and taught ways to practice silence and solitude. And again, both of these, and all of them, all 8 weeks rather, have been classified as somewhat difficult. But today, the practice that I will be teaching and sharing with today is something that I have seen that not one person in here is going to find difficult. I think we deserve that break. So before I even get into it, I just want to say thank you to everyone for being here today, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And that leads me into this week's practice, giving thanks and having the attitude of gratitude. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Sean asked me if I could please speak today on giving thanks, and I immediately got excited. This is one of my favorite subjects. It's one of my favorites because I'm actually good at this. So I am happy and I am honored to be sharing the Word of God with you today. I'm going to start right away. I'm going to be staying on Psalms 100 for a while. Why? Because to communicate this topic properly, I'm going to build the way that any good builder would. I'm going to start at the foundation. So the initial foundational truth of what I'm about to say is that gratitude is the door to God's presence. Gratitude and thanksgiving are the doors to God's presence. We read this clearly in Psalms 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is how we enter into God's gates, or God's house, if you will. So if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, It really helps if you guys are in the same house. You can have a limited conversation. You could have limited fellowship if one of you is outside of the house. But it's gonna be a little strange. You'll have to scream at the top of your voice. You'll have a hard time hearing the other person. And sometimes, only if you're lucky, you'll catch a glimpse of them as they're coming through the window. And I actually really relate to this because when I first started following Jesus, this was the exact method that I would use. I would say to myself, I really wish that I could hear God's voice a little clearer. I really wish that I could feel God's presence a little more. And after coming to realize that this soon became my problem is because I would come to him and the first words that I would say was help. Help me do this. Help me get over that. What I was not doing was coming to him first in gratitude. If we look back at that passage, it doesn't say that we enter into his gates by screaming help. It says we enter into his gates through gratitude, through thanksgiving. Then once we've entered, then it is okay to ask for help. If you want it or if you need it. So me personally, I start my day every single day the exact same way. I start by praying. And it's the same exact prayer I pray every day. Father God, thank you for waking me up this morning to another day not promised, a day that because of your grace and your love that I get to experience everything that you've set before me. Father, if it is in your will, allow me to remember that it is your will being done and not mine. With that being said, I'm hopefully asking you that this is how you start your day as well. I'm advising all of you to start every single day with thanksgiving because that is how we enter into the presence of God. And that leads me into my second truth for today. What we need to realize about gratitude and thanksgiving is that gratitude brings freedom. We'll be able to enter into his presence. We'll be able to enter into the presence of God, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Spiritual, emotional, relational, and even physical freedom. The Bible speaks about this repeatedly. Out of all of the stories in the Bible that exemplifies how gratitude and thanksgiving brings freedom, I just want to retell the Old Testament tale of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who God had asked to go to a city. And if you remember correctly, he didn't want to go. He didn't like the people, and he definitely didn't like the city. So he went in the opposite direction. So to make a long story short, he ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And that's a whole new level of problems. I get that you have problems. I have problems too. But that is a whole new ball game. Of problems. Okay, so here's Jonah inside the fish. Connor, can you bump me one, please? But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the land. Jonah 2:9. Even in the belly of the fish, Jonah gives thanks to God, not because of his circumstances, but in his circumstances. There's a big difference. When we give thanks, we enter into the presence of God, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Any person who is in here, who is a parent, knows what it's like to feel swallowed whole. Take your eyes off your kid for even a minute, and they can disappear off the face of the earth. Or get into something that they should not be getting into. Growing up, my mom had this really ugly blue van. And that blue van was my favorite place in the world to play. I would be transformed in those moments. I went from a 6-year-old kid into an astronaut into a Power Ranger, whatever, whoever I wanted to be. Connor, hit me one time. That's little six-year-old me. So every other Tuesday, my mom would go and she would get her nails done. And I would stay in the car and I'd put on my favorite cassette tapes. And again, I would be transformed into whoever character I liked on TV the most that week. Until one day, I was pretending to be a NASCAR driver. I turned that car on, put the car in reverse, and proceeded to take my place in the starting lineup, right into Main Street. My mom came running out, and I do not remember what she said to me, but I do remember her thanking God over and over again. And that brings me to my next point. My next truth about gratitude is that it is a daily choice. Now, to illustrate this truth, I'm going to bring up Paul and Silas. The story found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Now, Paul and Silas were two disciples who set out to do exactly what Jesus had told them to do. Jesus asked them to go, teach the Bible, and to pray for people. He asked them to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what they did. Well, because of that, they were beaten with rods, they were arrested, and they were put in the inner cell of a jail. They were chained up, and their feet were fastened to stocks. Now, of course, what they could have done, they could have sat there, and they could have had a lot of questions to deal with. They could have said, why did Jesus ask us to do this? How come all of these things are happening to us? They could have created a grudge and bitterness and disappointment. But instead, they chose to do something completely different. Connor? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, but the other prisoners were listening to them, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison doors flew open, and that everyone's chains came loose. What I like about this is a great example of never being in full control of your circumstances, but you can always fully control your attitude. Paul and Silas make a choice. Even though we suffer, even though that our bodies hurt, and even though we don't fully understand the situation, yet we will worship. Yet we will give thanks. We will stay in the attitude of gratitude. My favorite part about this whole story is that their decision to respond to all of these trials with thanksgiving led to releasing themselves, even though they didn't leave the prison. But not only them, it affected everyone around them. The scripture says not only did their chains come off, not only did the prison doors open up, but every chain in the prison and every door of the prison were opened up. So what does that mean to us here in Redding, California? When you and I choose an attitude of gratitude, it will not only affect you, but it will affect everybody around you. Your attitude will affect your family. It'll affect your workplace, your school, everybody around you. Again, it will bring freedom. So let's bring freedom into our communities. That's our main practice for this week. I just want you guys to choose gratitude. Easy. Why do we want to choose gratitude? It's so that we can constantly enter into the presence of God. Before my stepdad came into my life, I was 8 when he came in. I was raised by a single mom. So when mom went to work, that means I got to go to grandma's house. Grandma was my favorite person in the entire world. Not because she gave me sugar. I didn't get sugar until I was over 2 years old. And it was her. We would stay up. We would make homemade peanut butter cookies. She would let me play my favorite VHS tapes. And so far, I know that I have now said cassette tape and VHS tape, so I'm really dating myself here, but still my all-time favorite. My grandma's name is Dolores, And she was a very godly Catholic woman. And she loved Jesus with all her heart, all of her heart. I love to be around her. And even on some days, I'm even lucky enough to remember what her smile looked like. Another thing that I remember very clearly is that Dolores had fake teeth. And being a little kid, I remember the first time she took them out when we were brushing our teeth. And I was completely terrified. I would not stop crying. And I don't see it much anymore. But back when I was growing up, adults used to pick kids up by their arms and pull them into the next room. And that's what she did. She picked me up and she started praying for me or herself for me to stop crying. Now thinking back, I think she was praying for me to stop crying. But I don't remember what she was praying, but I do remember how she ended her prayer. And it was just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This woman was born in 1930 in New Jersey, and she lived one heck of a life. It was rough. And this woman taught me what it was like to be grateful in all circumstances. She didn't teach me the traditional way through books, but she taught me how to follow in her footsteps. And for that, I will ever be grateful. When she died, I was the very first person in the room. And I took her little cold hand into mine, and fighting back tears, I looked up and I just said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And that leads me into the last thing that I want to share with you regarding the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. I've said today that gratitude is the door into God's presence. I've said that gratitude brings freedom. And I've also said that gratitude is a daily choice. So my final truth today that I was to communicate with you is that choosing gratitude means letting go of something else. Gratitude and grudges cannot coexist with each other. One will always kick out the other. So it's up to us to choose what we want to keep in our lives and what we want to get rid of. And if you want to live your life with an attitude of gratitude, then you need to let go of certain things. Maybe it's bitterness against a parent. Wednesday night, I'm sitting at home, and I have my coloring book, and I have my markers. My sister Jennifer calls me. She lives in Montana. My first initial thought was, okay, she probably just wants help with a computer, Netflix login code. And I answer it, and she says, hey, Jamie, I just call in. I need your permission for something real quick. And I was like, uh-oh, this isn't good. She goes, your biological father, Steve, is asking around trying to get a hold of you. Steve and I have not talked in 5 years. We had a pretty big falling out, which I will not get into right now. But immediately when I heard his name, what I thought was coming up was bitterness and anger. And the words that came out of my mouth were 540 South Street, which was my address. Without me even knowing it, God has been working in my life. Even when I don't see that he's working, he's working. Where bitterness and disappointment and anger should have been was filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. She goes on to say that Steve and her regularly keep in contact, that he is fully aware that I am 2 years clean and sober, that I have given my life to Jesus. And to start slow, he just wants to send me a letter and maybe build back that relationship, which is perfect. Letters are awesome. That doesn't mean that I'm even going to respond to it. I don't know how I'm going to feel at the time. I don't know what God's going to reveal to me at that time, because obviously I will be praying before, during, and after. So I will keep everybody updated on how that is going. But maybe you also have disappointments towards God. I've been upset with God before. I get upset when he tells me no. I get upset when he tells me yes. And I definitely get upset when he says yes, but not now. I'm going to share with you one time that I'm actually really happy that he told me no. This is about 2 months now. I'm scrolling through Facebook, and if you guys are familiar, there's a section in Facebook where it says people you might know. So I'm going through it, and I come across this name, and for the life of me, I know the name, but I just can't place it until it finally clicked. I was like, that's the girl from elementary school. When she moved to Alturas Elementary School in 2001, I was in first grade, really easy to remember. Whatever year it was, that's what grade I was in. It's cool how that worked out for me. That's the girl who, when I first saw her, I knew that I was in love with her, and I would pray to God fervently over and over again to make her my girlfriend and later my wife. So I click that picture, and I'm going through it, and I look up. I said, oh, thank you, God, for saying no to that one. So before I got off track right there, I was saying that it might be that you still hold grudges and that you have disappointments. And we all hold on to them because there's this level of enjoyment to it. There's something in us that likes being angry at somebody else. We feel like we have the right to be angry. This person did that, or this person did this, or this person didn't comment on my Facebook post. So now I will stay angry, I will keep my disappointments, and I will be bitter, and I will hold grudges. What we don't realize is that if we hold on to these things, we cannot really see the blessings of gratitude. Remember, we need to let go of something to gain something that is even more precious. And from the moment that I said yes to Jesus, God has introduced me to something. And I know he wants you all to be introduced to it too. It's the blessing of thanksgiving, allowing you to enter into his presence daily, allowing you to experience a new level of spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, relational freedom. And if you are making gratitude and thanksgiving your daily choice. Thank you.
Brother, thank you, brother. I don't know that there are many postures or mindsets that are more immediately transformative than gratitude. And your final point there is well taken. There's something oddly comforting about holding a grudge. I don't know if it's just that we want to have that posture of advantage over another. You know, I see your brokenness, I see how you failed, and I'm just going to cling to that because I feel better relative to you as long as I hold on to that. But there is surrender in thanksgiving. And I love the passage that links thanksgiving and praise. I tend to think thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of what God has done, and praise is an acknowledgement of who he is. And if we're going to approach the Lord, if we're going to approach the throne, it's a good thing to keep those things before us. So thank you, James, for that good message. We're going to finish our service here by gathering together, as we do each Sunday, in remembrance of who God is and what God has done through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, as a sign of the new covenant with his people. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus gathered his beloved around the meal table. The Lord loved to gather around a meal, and we love that too. And he took up those simple elements on the table, bread and wine, who everybody, rich and poor, would have bread and wine. Simple things. And he made them a symbol of his body and his blood that would be sacrificed, shed for his people, and instructed them when they gathered together in the future to partake of these things in remembrance of him. And so as a remembrance, but also as a divine sacrament, we believe that the Spirit of God is with us when we do this together. We continue that tradition now as believers. If you are a follower of Christ or want to start following him today, you are welcome at the Lord's table. The way we do this is we come down the center aisle, we take a cracker, we dip it in the wine, and we just hold on to it. We go back to our seats in the outer aisles, and then once everybody has it, we take together as a family. So please feel free to come forward now to the table of the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, that you, seeing our brokenness and seeing what our sins were about to bring down on us as a people, you stood in our place, and you took the hit for us, God. You didn't need to. We weren't entitled to expect that of you, God. You freely gave yourself for our sake. We thank you for that act, and we acknowledge and we praise you for what that says about who you are, Lord. We pray that a greater awareness of that love, of that sacrifice, would be the spark that kindles a spirit of gratitude in us each day, Father God, that we would become newly aware tomorrow and the day after of all the ways that you have stood for us, that you have provided for us, that you have loved us, God. Help us to keep that before us, especially in difficult seasons when we are keenly aware of what we lack or what we wish we had. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, well, just one more reminder that at 5 p.m. tonight, you're welcome to gather back with us here for some food and some games and some singing. We will find out who in the congregation is gifted and who is bold and brave. So just want to, if you would stand, just love to bless you as you head out into the city. Father God, here are your people. I pray that you would walk with them, that you would make your presence known to them, that as they encounter your beloved in the city, as they cross paths with those people that you have called them to love on, that they would know that you are standing there with them, encouraging them on, celebrating their obedience and their willingness, Father God. Make us a blessing to this city. Lord, let the people who encounter us know that they are loved. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.